Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This 30-minute podcast features a new author interviewed by me every single day, 365 days a year, for about 30 minutes. I am also the publisher for Zibby Books, which publishes 12 books a year in fiction and memoir. Our books are already out now. You can check it out on zibbybooks.com. And we have a magazine called Zibby Mag, where we have lots of wonderful essays and lifestyle features. That's at zibbymag.com. We have classes at zibbyclasses.com. And I recently opened a bookstore in LA called Zibby's Bookshop at 1113 Montana Avenue at 11th Street in Santa Monica. I hope that you are able to enjoy some of our other offerings. But this here podcast is the basis of all of it and started in 2018. And no matter what I do, this is basically my favorite thing. Enjoy. Dara Levan is the author of It Could Be Worse. Dara is the creator and host of Every Soul Has a Story, a podcast in which she interviews inspiring people from around the globe. Her calling to impact others began at the age of 12 in her hometown of North Miami Beach, Florida, when she interviewed the residents of the nursing home where her grandmother lived and wrote their stories. By the way, I did something like this. I interviewed the people in my grandmother's nursing home. I don't even think Dara and I spoke about this. Anyway, as an undergrad at Indiana University, Dara earned a BA in English and pursued a career in journalism, but decided to pivot and return to South Florida to earn her MS in Communication Sciences and Disorders. Dara stopped practicing speech therapy to return to full-time writing. Actively involved in her community, she is currently a board member of the Community Foundation of Broward and board member of Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital Foundation, Memorial Hospital Foundation, and the Community Foundation of Broward. Dara served as a board member of the Goodman Jewish Family Services of Broward County and Junior Achievement of South Florida. She is also a founding member of the Circle of Friends for the Alvin Sherman Library Research Information and Technology Center at Nova Southeastern University. Sarah is a member of the Women's Fiction Writers Association, Women's National Book Association, and the Authors Guild. And Dara and I will be in conversation at the Palm Beach Bookstore at the end of March. So check out zibbyevents.ticketleap.com or go to zibbyowens.com and you can find out more, or just thepalmbeachbookstore.com and find out where to see Dara and me. Welcome, Dara. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss your novel, It Could Be Worse.
Thank you for having me, Zibby. This is such an honor, and it's a very uncomfortable feeling because typically I'm on the other side sitting here being interviewed, and I'm so much more comfortable being in your chair. So this is an interesting flip of the script, I guess.
Well, we'll have fun. Just enjoy it. And we're actually doing this recording right after getting back from our Miami retreat, and you were there. We got to hang out the whole time. So Kyle was literally just saying something. Oh, we were like brushing our teeth, and he's like, you know, Dara told me that the whole secret to a good marriage is separate bathrooms.
He's right. We had to reconstruct our bathrooms, and he mentioned something like that. And I said, actually, we have this wonderful meeting space because my husband and I are like peanut butter and jelly. We are a total team. We've been together 24 years, like a beautiful love story. And we had to reconstruct our bathrooms. So Kyle said something about separate. I said, well, they're together because we love to talk. And, you know, between spits of toothpaste, we catch up, right? But we do have different toilets now. It's wonderful.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, because, you know, women, we have stuff to do. I don't know. Men, in general, they just seem, that seems like their meditative spot. Not for me. I'm in and I'm out.
Okay. So you are also a novelist. It could be worse. So exciting. Can you please tell everybody what your book is about?
Sure. Thank you for asking. It's about a woman. Her name is Allegra Gill, and she suspects that her charmed life is not all that it may be, but she doesn't awaken until becoming a mother. And after discovering something devastating in her childhood home, in the piano bench of her childhood home, she starts to question if the people who should love her the most, her parents, and who raised her, really have done more harm than healing. So this is really a story of awakening and acceptance, but not necessarily forgiveness in the traditional sense. So it's that's about a quick part of it. But one thing I'd like to add is the musicality component. Mm-hmm. So Allegra's name is very clearly chosen for that reason. Allegra means happiness in Italian, and she's Jewish. Her husband is what's called Jubin, very popular here in Miami. Anyone who grew up here, I didn't have to do a lot of research because two of my boyfriends were Jubin. So
is that Jewish and Cuban?
Exactly. Yes. It's a big thing here in Miami. Anyone that is from here, I'm a Miami native, where the book takes place in present day. And there are flashbacks to a camp in northern Michigan, definitely inspired by my experience 8 summers at Interlaken Arts Camp, where I did sing. And now I just sing in the shower. My range is like 5 notes. It's nothing impressive. But Allegra's journey, I wrote the novel in the cadence of a waltz. So present, present, past, up, up, down. And that's also the rhythm of a waltz, because I believe healing is a waltz. It's not just forward. It's not just backward. Certain life events, experiences, even just unexpected triggering moments can bring us forward and backward. And that's her healing journey that she doesn't even know she's about to go on. Mm-hmm. And she's so blindly loyal to her father, who's a pediatric neurosurgeon. He's a healer. He's brilliant. He's her everything. And everyone is seeing it but her. Mm-hmm. And when she finally starts to awaken, just like a death, you know, a death of who you thought somebody was, she has such a hard time saying it, even though she's a therapist herself. She's very well aware of the irony there. It makes it real for her to admit that her father, especially her mother too, are not who she thought they were.
That is hard when you see your parents as people, but also with flaws that affect you directly. And how do you reconcile that and your own identity and all of that? Where did this plot and book even come from?
It's interesting, Zivi. I'm glad you asked, because as a podcaster myself on Every Soul Has a Story, I've had so many people trust me to share their stories. And not just that, I've had so much personal experience in the workplace, in friendships, with narcissistic abuse. And it's such a silent, you know, you don't see it. There's no bruises. There are, you know, people are walking around in the world looking strong and totally balanced. And yet they're hurting inside and really being peeled apart one layer at a time, sometimes not even knowing it. And so Allegra had no idea. She just thought, well, you know, my parents are, you know, my dad especially, he wants, you know, excellence. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with calling me fat? What's wrong with taking me to Weight Watchers at 10 years old? She's thinking that was her norm. And so I thought this was a topic that was really important to explore, but it's really a story of unconditional love. So, and multi-generational love, and also breaking a generational cycle of abuse. So her grandparents are herself, as well as her sanctuary in the woods, Camp Intermezzo, and her best friend she meets there, who's her bestie for life. And anyone that went to sleepaway camp knows this, but especially this camp because of the connection of music, which I've always believed is a universal language. And I learned that as a camper at Interlaken, and it's still with me. I mean, that's all I talk about. I met my husband by talking about it. We got engaged 11 months later. So this is so personal in that regard. And I feel this is something people are afraid to talk about, is estrangement and, you know, having challenges with people that are not just parents, cousins, sisters, friends. You know, there's so much shame. So the deep root of Allegra's journey, part of it is shame. Mm-hmm. Shame about her body. Her mother made her feel horrible, and her father for that matter. She was never enough.
Tell me more about narcissistic abuse. I know this is sort of like in the zeitgeist at the moment, finally getting a lot of airtime in places, but it's complicated. How do you know if you are, quote unquote, a victim of narcissistic abuse? How do you know if someone is a narcissist? How do you identify that? Not to pin you as like the be-all, end-all expert on this, but just in wondering if people are out there thinking, well, maybe I've had narcissistic abuse. How would I know?
I really appreciate that question. And although I'm not an expert, I'm starting to feel like it, because it's something that's coming up repeatedly the last couple of years. And I've done not only a ton of research, but like I said, personal experience. There are several types of narcissism. So there's covert, that's the hardest to spot. Those are the people that appear to be kind. I almost think of it as a fish and a hook, and they hook you with either their charm or their intellect or their wit, or I've done this for you. And they reel you in. And I've read that sometimes it's like 6 or 8 months into the relationship, and it could be anything. It could be romantic. It could be professional. It could be familial. This is pervasive, really, like a cancer. And you don't even know it's happening. So covert is really the hardest, because what happens is, there's this term that has been thrown around a lot lately, but it's truth, is gaslighting, which actually I learned recently. I believe gaslighting was the word of the year. I believe 2021 or 2022. If that doesn't tell you anything.
Oh my gosh.
Right. I know, that's so disturbing, which all the more reason I think this story is important. Overt narcissism is really obvious. Those are people that are grandiose. You could spot them in a heartbeat. You know, they need constant attention, or, you know, they're always in both instances with narcissism. There's a lot of demeaning others, making people feel less than. But at the root of it, a narcissist has no self-awareness. So I used to be a speech pathologist, which is why there's some threads of that as well in the novel, which I'd love to share. Mm-hmm. And they truly have no sense of self. It's really sad. So they're basically vacuous. They're like a shell of a human. And so it's one of the hardest things to treat also. I've spoken to several therapists. Why? Because just like in speech therapy, if you're not aware, well, with anything in life, if you're not aware of a behavior, how can you change it? Mm-hmm. So overt or covert narcissists, they truly think they're doing nothing wrong. They lie, they criticize, they put people down, because at the root of it, they don't love themselves. Mm. And so that's why it could be worse, is ultimately a story of unconditional love. Allegra has always loved herself, but has a lot of self-doubt, because all these seeds that have been planted, and I'm sure you know, Zivi, I mean, there's so many little messages I've had to undo from my childhood. My parents did the best they could. I'm sure your parents did too. But there's little messages that come up that you could either delete, you could rewind and unpack it. There's so much we can do, right? And a narcissist in any situation, another common theme for them, it's almost like they're programming their prey, right? So it's not uncommon to see narcissists with friends where you ever see somebody where when you ask what to look out for, I know someone or I knew someone, most of this person's friends were divorced or lonely, you know, that these are people a narcissist will prey on. Somebody who's insecure, they'll prey on that. Why? Because they need to feel better about themselves. Just like a bully situation on the playground, bullies are usually looking for control. And so there's a sense of, if I control you, it's almost an extension of self. That's another form of narcissism that doesn't always come across as toxic, but you'll see that with parents a lot where, you know, the child is an appendage, a child is an extension of the parent, whether that's a perfect weight, a perfect look, perfect career, choosing the right husband. So it really manifests in such myriad ways that it is hard to spot. And when you start knowing what you're looking for, it becomes very clear and it's really hard to unsee and unhear, which is what Allegra really struggles with because she's just like, this can't be.
And what is, in your experience, not to spend the whole time talking about this, but for the victims like Allegra of narcissistic abuse, what is the remedy for that? Like, what can they do?
That's a great question. So what is I've read about, and I actually interviewed some therapists, you know, directly, the first thing to do is boundaries. And one thing that, you know, that word also has been thrown around so much lately, Zivi, it's interesting. People that need boundaries the most will resist them the most. Mm-hmm. So the way a narcissist will often react to boundaries is anger. So you have some narcissists that really explode. And that's scary. That's a very alarming thing, putting that person back in their place that they are trying to control. The other way they will do that is perhaps triangulation. So they'll start trying to intervene between a relationship. So maybe if it's a parent, they don't want to be seen. That's their biggest fear, is being seen for who they are and who they aren't. Mm-hmm. So the one way is the boundaries. It's the only way, quite frankly. And then what happens if someone is really what they call a severe pathologic narcissist, it'll be so resistant, they might start spreading lies about you to your friends, to your family, in the workplace. So then you go to partial contact. So it's a stronger boundary. You know, I'm only going to speak to you once a week. And it could be a silent boundary. Often that's the safest way with a narcissist, because if you sit them down and say, so here's the deal. This is how we're going to begin to engage now. That doesn't go over so well because they see everything as an attack on them, even though it isn't. But they have such a fragile sense of self, if any, that everything you say, and Allegra experiences this, becomes this like horrible attack on that person and a judgment when it's really just trying to have a healthy relationship. Yep. When it gets really severe, unfortunately, most people have to go no contact. And that is just the hardest thing in the world, because who wants to do that? It's usually someone you love or respect. Like if it's your boss, how do you go no contact with the boss?
You don't.
You have to quit.
Not happening.
No, right? Rub your shirt onward and upward. Exactly.
I just got this yesterday as a gift and I had to wear it right away because I don't really like wearing black, but thank you.
I was going to say, I never see you in black. And you look,
I know.
Great.
It's not one of my colors. I had my colors done.
I never wore black and it looks great on you.
Thank you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, go back to the speech pathology, because I did notice that Allegra does have a stutter, particularly when she's talking to her dad. I feel like it's always like, da-da-da-dad, you know, when you wrote it over and over. Tell me about that.
She only stutters with her father, actually. Okay. Only. And that's quite intentional. And I'm grateful that you noticed that. So yay, that message came through. I really wanted to show, so I was a speech pathologist. You know, when I went to Indiana University, I was an English and journalism double major. So writing is not a new thing for me. I basically was writing since I could speak, which if anyone that knows me was probably in utero. So speech therapy, I loved, because I love children. I love the brain. I love psychology. But what really I know is my passion and purpose is writing. And so I really wanted to integrate. I didn't see a lot of representation. I really haven't in fiction of speech and language disorders. And so as this character came to life, I thought, you know, maybe I can show stuttering through trauma. Mm. Because so there's different types of stuttering. Most common is childhood stuttering. You'll see a true stutterer. You'll start seeing it between the ages of 3 and 5. And there's other types where there's a neurologic injury. It could be a stroke. It could be a car accident. But stuttering because of trauma is less common. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be really interesting to explore how, and Allegra doesn't even realize it, right? And I don't know if you noticed also, she's only called Allegra by her parents. Everyone else calls her Allie. Mm-hmm. That's another way of a narcissist keeping themselves up here. And she's down here.
Interesting.
So it's another, and those names came to me so immediately. Ruby and Allegra are actually names of girls I went to camp with, a little girl. And I just love those names since I was little. I knew those names would be in a book one day or somehow used. So yeah, I think it's interesting. Trauma can manifest and reveal itself in so many ways. And I wanted to explore how that happened through speech. Because also what I found really interesting about Allegra's journey, and she just told me to write this. You know, we hear these voices, right? As authors, I mean, don't tell a therapist that because they'll Baker act you, right? We all talk about, you know, I heard this, you know, my character told me to do this. It really sounds insane, doesn't it?
It does.
But you understand, right? But it happens.
I totally get it. Yes. Everyone does it and everybody says it sounds insane. So at least there's this common awareness that there is some element of subconsciousness working and that it just kind of gets, you know, it runs away once you get started.
It's amazing, right? And so I thought, how can I bring in my background? And my second book already that I've outlined in my head like 2 years ago will absolutely also have one or two characters with a speech and language challenge. And how does that integrate into their life's journey? I really want to teach through story. And so no matter what, you know, I'm always a speech therapist, and I feel as a writer and as a podcaster, I think, you know, stories matter. And I feel that there's something really powerful with fiction because my hope is that readers feel empowered, inspired, and ultimately really understand the human capacity for resilience, because we have so much more capacity for resilience than we realize. And that's actually something that's even on my website, is I really believe in radiance and our breaking points. Cause it's like a glow stick, you know, like bar and bat mitzvahs or I don't know if they still use it now. Yeah. You know, when I was kids, right. And you'd break it.
Yep.
And then it starts to glow. So I really believe that we grow and glow through so much heartbreak. And so this is a heart wrenching story, but it's, I believe, and I hope you found it to be true, heartwarming, because ultimately it's empowering. And, you know, a lot of times we don't learn resilience, just, you know, you don't drink it like say, oh, I'm going to have a cup of ginger tea. And all of a sudden I feel just so resilient. I mean, unfortunately, on our human journey and in our characters' journeys, which I hope are so aligned, because the best books for me make me think and feel and cry and laugh and just not feel like I'm alone in. And that's really my hope with this book and hopefully many others that will come, is to have readers feel really an authentic connection. I guess that's also my theater background. The believability of a character, I think, is so important, because there's so many books. I know you read, first of all, can we talk about how, I mean, you said to me, oh, I read your book last night. What do you mean you read my book last night? I mean, you have four kids.
I didn't have my kids. They were with their dad. And I don't know. I know how to like speed read now. I mean, I can just go through every page. I don't know. I mean,
unbelievable. I think you have to teach a course on that, because my TBR, or to be read, anyone that doesn't know what that is, my husband teases me. Like, he's like, is this an art installation? I mean, I keep buying more and more books and they're all over the place.
I have that too. You don't even want to know. I mean, there are books everywhere, but that's why I like having the podcast, because I know I have to read them by a certain time. So it all gets done. Anything I put in my calendar or in my inbox, it'll get done. But anything else, forget it. One other thing though, with your book, you know, as a former Weight Watchers, you know, person, and then eventually leader, and then eventually like not a fan at this point. But can I just read this part you wrote about that? You said, my father's condescending comments about the women who practically raised me and Jack still echoed in my mind. He couldn't stand the sight of anyone fat. Not at home, not at the office, not anywhere. Dr. Kurt labeled one nanny Rice Patty Fatty and fired her because of her size. Several dedicated nurses at his office were also dismissed because of their less than desirable appearances. Pleasantly plump and morbidly obese were frequently used phrases I'd heard again and again at 5 years old and now. I winced, recalling my first step onto the public square symbol of humiliation, otherwise known as the Weight Watchers scale. One time, an older woman with frosted hair glanced down at me. Compassionate eyes let me know I was more than my physicality. 5x7 index cards waited in the box, blank until the next written measurement. No matter what the number, I never measured up to my father's expectations. Listening to all the adults collectively commiserate, I learned to avoid ingesting sodium the night before weigh-ins. I also wore the exact same outfit each week. Every ounce counted. 10 years old was a bit young to be dieting, especially without anyone my age to normalize that experience. Every Saturday morning, we drove to Weight Watchers. Daddy-daughter special time when my father would share stories about growing up in the snow. I'd wring my hands like a soaked terry cloth towel, nervous yet excited for our morning of just us. I awaited the loss, hopeful that a descending number would gain my father's approval. My self-worth was an external umbilical cord connected to my father and linked to the scale. I felt raw, almost naked. Would it ever be severed? I love that passage. Oh my gosh. And sorry for all the sirens in the background. Don't know if you can hear them. 10 years old. Take us through this. And did this come from your own life? Someone you know? Where did this come from?
Maybe yes to all. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I have, even now, I mean, gosh, it's even worse now with social media. And just the whole expectation of women and men, that's the other thing too, that's not addressed much, although I touch upon it with Jack a little bit, her brother, and how they, you know, I don't want to ruin the story, but that's a big part of their narcissism manifest as well. So yes, I went to Weight Watchers when I was young. I don't know if it was willingly. I don't know what my memory serves, to be honest. And I do know, not just with myself, but I saw it with friends. I actually talked about this with a high school friend recently. And then another friend, I went in college with her, you know, how not just parents, but society, there's this not only expectation, I'm trying to think of the right word, but again, a sense of self, a sense of your parent, your grandparent, your friend, your neighbor, they're saying it to be nice, or they're saying it for your health. But as a child, you could see right through the BS. You can feel it. You know, that look. You know that look, like, you know that look.
I know the look. I have I had grandmothers with the look. My mom. I mean, you know, I'm not pointing. You know, never mind. Not going to say anything about my family. But
I hear you. Same. On your face, that was a different kind of look. You know, I'm glad you related to it. I'm hoping there's other universal themes in the novel that are relatable, like loss and most of all love. And I'm grateful because, you know, having children, as you know, really opens up your mind and your eyes and your heart. I mean, this having kids is what taught Allegra a healthy way to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. Because she didn't have children that kept asking, "Mommy, why does, you know, grandma do this? Mommy, why does grandpa treat you that way?" It didn't even occur to her. Same mm-hmm. thing with the Weight Watchers stuff. Like, she didn't really know that there's anything wrong with that. So nothing inherently is wrong with going to Weight Watchers or having a child, you know, encouraging them to lose weight for their health. But there is something wrong if it's tied to love and acceptance. That's not okay.
Do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
I do, and mine's interesting because this is my debut novel. Believe it or not, people ask how long did it take. This entire thing poured out of me in 15 weeks. But I believe, and that wasn't writing every day. I'm a quick writer. I think that I write in my head a lot. Mm-hmm. That might be from the days I was an arts reporter. But my advice would be really write the story that speaks to your soul. My whole heart is on every single page. Mm-hmm. And tune out the noise. Mm-hmm. I feel that there are a lot of discouragers. Oh my gosh, there's so many books out there. You're never going to do well. You don't need those people in your life. Mm-hmm. That's their insecurity kind of projecting on you. It's mm-hmm. not really your stuff. And I think what was the biggest challenge for me, and I challenged myself to do this. I'm such a perfectionist. I actually love to edit. In my 20s, when I was in grad school, I edited several books on ADHD and social skills, again, tied to speech in some ways, speech therapy. Mm-hmm. And my biggest challenge, but I would encourage it, go forward. Don't go backward. I did not edit one single thing until I hit the end. Mm-hmm. That was the hardest thing for me because I love editing. I mean, to me, that is like the most delicious thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so the advice, go forward. Do not go backward. I actually wrote this entire story first in third person, even though my gut told me it wasn't right. And then I rewrote the whole thing in first person. I thought you just changed pronouns. Not so much. I was like, oh, that'll be easy. And thirdly, listen to your gut. You know, I went down a whole path because I was never a novelist. I never thought I'd write fiction. And I started just reading books on craft, jumping on your podcast, Carly Waters, mm-hmm. everything I could soak in until a friend of mine said, just sit down and write. One of them is Brad Meltzer, who's a really good friend of mine from, mm-hmm. from high school. And he said, just write. I said, Brad, what do you mean just write? And January 6, 2021, I sat down and I said, I'm hitting the end mid-April. And I did.
Good for you.
That was it. And I have to now find the place to do that again. And then the other thing I'll share that a really good friend of mine said, which is terrifying, but so also illuminating. She said, once that book is published, it's no longer yours. And I said, excuse me? She said, it's not. It's your readers. You know, it's not every book is for everybody. And it's you move on to the next.
Moving on to the next. Dara, it could be worse. Congratulations. Well done. And more to come. Can't wait.
Thank you so much, Zivi. I appreciate you having me on and taking the time to read my book, Baby.
Of course. Okay. Bye.
So much.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.